This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Mike, top stories of the day. Did you happen to see DK Metcalf? Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. He was involved in a strange altercation with the fan at Ford Field during the second quarter of Sunday's win, 29-24, over the Lions. Metcalf was shown talking to a fan who was in a blue wig and hanging over the first row railing. CBS sideline reporter Tracy Wolfson said, DK came over because the fan in the stands was holding a For Pittsburgh jersey. He went over. The fan said something to him. Obviously, Metcalf did not like what he said. And you saw him swipe up at the fan, kind of like almost a little mini punch attempt. In the angle that I saw on Instagram, Metcalf walked up to the fan, grabbed him by his shirt collar to pull him closer. I thought he pulled him by like the blue hair or whatever. Then forcefully shoved him back. The fan, who threw his hands up after Metcalf made contact with him, appeared to have a yellow jersey in his hands. Metcalf left the locker room without taking questions from reporters. I don't know. The Detroit Free Press spoke to the fan, who identified himself as Ryan Kennedy from Pinky, Michigan. He said he called Metcalf by his full name, DeKalen Zacharias Metcalf, prompting the interaction. I bet it was something a little more than that to get a player to come over and start throwing hands around.
Yeah, I don't want to say he said anything racial, but maybe he said something offensive.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin said he heard about it, but hadn't seen it and hadn't had the opportunity to talk to DK, so I have no comment. I always just assume the worst in those cases. You're going to have a guy come over there and get to a physical kind of altercation. I just imagine somebody said something worse. Like somebody said, not that invites it, but like Big Hub says, do we hold DK, the fan, DK or the fan responsible or both?
Both,
right? I mean,
I would instinctively say both, but like you can't prove the fan said anything. All you can prove is that DK got offended. The NFL should definitely.
Well, they didn't throw like any kind of penalty flag or anything like that. That's why the NFL couldn't weigh in on any kind of a disqualification for that game. Metcalf continued to play. The league is going to now review the incident, and Metcalf could face discipline. My guess is Metcalf is going to say, yeah, the fan said this, and this. And they're going to say, yeah, that's unacceptable. The fan's going to get in trouble, probably not be able to go to a game. I don't know. But then it's also going to deliver some kind of fine for DK Metcalf because you can't touch the fans, man.
Yeah, I just wonder if there were people around him, like what did the people around him say?
Like, it didn't look like there was a lot of people like around in that moment. So I think
it could have been really loud. Maybe there was some kind of misunderstanding. I don't know. You can't hit fans, and if you're going to be a fan, like you gotta don't say anything to the player. Like don't say anything to the player.
No, fans are ridiculous.
In person.
Fans can be ridiculous.
They could be.
You've been around some of them, and they say some of the most vile things.
They do. They say some, like, horrible stuff.
Yeah.
Just horrible stuff.
Yeah. And that, to me, is, like, is unacceptable. But you gotta, and I know people give LeBron James a hard time because he likes to go tattletale on a fan that's sitting courtside or close nearby, and they're saying a lot of inappropriate things, and LeBron goes and notifies the ref. To be honest, guys, that's the way, like, to an extent, these things should be handled instead of LeBron going out into the stands and handling matters himself. Now, the counter to that is you're going to get, Brady, have you ever watched the Serbian basketball game? Like, those guys are vicious. The fans are vicious. Soccer, those fans are vicious. They say a lot of vile things, and players just, that's part of the game. Grow some thick skin.
I think it's somewhere, it has to be somewhere in between. You have to grow some thick skin, but also people, you can't be a horrible human being.
No.
Because you got kids right there. You don't want to teach kids to be horrible human beings.
That's one of the reasons I don't love going to games as much as a fan. If I can sit in a press box, and I'm not like saying I'm better than fans, but there are some fans that I would like to say I'm better than as far as how to fan. You know, if we're throwing out expletives and, you know, cursing dudes out, using racial terms, racist terms, or family stuff, personal stuff, like that, to me, yeah, I'm better than that because I don't do that kind of stuff. I've never thought to scream at a player on my team or an opposing team. I've been to games where Russell Westbrook was really getting after the fans, and I love it, man. I just laugh. It's awesome. But you get some that are just pretty freaking nasty. Texter says, but I wouldn't shove or punch someone just because he said I suck. Ocho Cinco, from Ocho Cinco, he said sources said the guy said a racial slur and something about his mom. Yeah, and this is the big one. Big
Why
Hub text,
you had a football game then?
Big Hub texts in and says, more importantly, where is security? Yeah, like when you see him going over to talk to a fan that's in a different jersey, right? You know that's probably not going to be the most positive most of the time. Yeah, we'll see. NFL's going to look into it. I'm guessing the fan will get something and maybe not be able to go to games or something like that. And then DK Metcalf will probably have some kind of a fine. I mean, he did physically swipe at the guy. Would that result in any kind of a suspension? And that would be very bad timing for a Pittsburgh team that's trying to lock in that playoff spot and win their division.
Don't know if he'd get a suspension. Certainly a game check would be gone.
How about Lamar Jackson? Mike, you know I'm a big Lamar fan, but man, the guy has been, he's been hurt all year. Almost every week he gets some kind of a new injury. And in this one, in the game over the weekend, he had a back injury and he had to leave the game. They lose to New England at 28-24. New England comes marching back. Jackson said his goal is still to play this weekend. They're still trying. They're still mathematically in this thing. They go up against Green Bay this weekend, but it's going to be pretty tough for Baltimore to get in. I mean, every week he has something, and this is your big money guy. This was always kind of the fear with signing a Lamar Jackson type quarterback for big money, is because you have a guy that constantly is, you know, getting hit a lot more. I think he's fairly smart about it, but he does run a lot more than your typical quarterback. The offensive line hasn't been great for Baltimore, so that's been rough. He said, Chris says, the fan will sue for emotional distress. Oh, I'm sure, in the DK Metcalf story. How about this one, Mike? Notre Dame and BYU, the top two at-large teams left out of this year's college football playoff field, have agreed to a home-and-home series beginning next season, which will mark also a halt in Notre Dame's longtime annual series with their rival, USC, for the foreseeable future. How about
that?
Is that more of the freeze out that's going on that we heard that was rumored that conferences were going to just not schedule Notre Dame?
I wonder if that is, but that is going to hurt USC.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt fans, too, because that's a good rivalry.
This is part of it, though, man. I mean, they said they want to continue it. This thing began back in 1926, Mike. Now, USC expressed concern about the timing of the game, wanting it to be early in the season when most Power 4 teams play non-conference games or marquee non-conference games. And I don't know if that is because of the rumored freeze out that we're seeing, or if it's just the concern they have as far as playing them at certain points in the season, but I would imagine that has something to do with it, Mike. Big Hub texting in, should we drop G5s from the playoffs? I was impressed with JMU. Some people were impressed with James Madison, the fact that they did score a lot of points. I think that was the most points Oregon's given up, or at least close to it.
Yeah, Oregon's weak in the, their stronger defensive line. They're suspect.
But James Madison didn't do anything to your brain to make you think any more of a G5 school getting in.
No, because like Notre Dame would have trounced him, BYU would have trounced him, Miami would have trounced him. Like your top 16 teams would have trounced him.
But let's not forget James Madison was FCS 2 years ago.
Yeah. And you know what? That was something I was thinking about. They were FCS 2 years ago.
And then they're in the playoffs.
I was talking with Derbs over the weekend, the dude down the hall.
Yeah, and Moore.
They could be the next Boise State. They could be the guys that are like, okay, we're now number 7 in the nation, and we're 18 in the nation, and 12 in the nation, and just consistently towards the top.
Not sure they'll create those schedules, like I've told you a million times, especially now, that will get them ranked to number 7.
I'll have to fix it.
I don't see how that's possible. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. What does Mark Johnson happen to think of how the college football playoffs went down? The voice of the Colorado Buffaloes will join me in just a few moments. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas.
Merry Christmas from all of us at Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're all in this together.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Minutes after the hour, joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline is the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. And Mark, in the new year, I'm pulling the curtain here, a little open here, because I love talking to you about the business of college sports. It's one of my more fascinating segments, I think. So we're gonna decorate this up with some bells and whistles in the new year. What do you think about that?
Oh, I like it, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, you of course, in the Big 12, following this Buffs team, you've got a lot of insight there where we can talk Colorado Buffaloes, but also every day, Mark, there's something going on, something new changes, whether we're talking football or just NCAA in general. Some of it's okay, most of it's a train wreck, and I think it's fun to go back and forth with you on that.
Well, I appreciate that. I was just right off the top of you had that you had the cause.
The cause, yeah.
And I didn't realize that he was now in the same vein as Michael and Prince and Cher. I didn't realize he just went by one name at this point in time. I'm kind of impressed. I'm not sure I'm ever going to reach that level, but I would never step out and just assume, hey, you're talking to the mark. So
We could. I mean, that could be part of it, you know? We could do something like that.
Fantastic. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's every single day, there's something new, there's something ridiculous, there's something that is mind-numbing. There's something that's intriguing in college sports right now. It really is a fascinating time to be alive and be involved in this business.
It really is. And, of course, I want to talk to you about the Buffs on Saturday, the loss to Stanford. Now coming up, they take on the UNC Bears coming up on Sunday. I believe that'll be the Buffs' last non-conference game,
exactly.
Right, Mark? Okay.
Yeah, that's the last one. What is it? 1 o'clock, I think, on Sunday. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to that one. And listen, they're playing some good basketball,
yeah.
Really. You've got that connection with Tad and his hometown and being the former coach there. And so I think it's a very intriguing game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I was, you know, certainly hoping CU would take care of Stanford. Mark, I did not catch this game, but from the recap and everything that I read, I mean, the rebounding was certainly an issue in that second half.
Well, the Buffs didn't play very well, and here's the thing about it. And, you know, Tad, the one thing we love about Tad is he doesn't have any unspoken thoughts. I mean, he'll tell you exactly what he's thinking. And Tad has been saying all along with this team, yes, we're a pretty darn talented offensive team, but you can't. Well, listen, the Rams just found out about this very same concept just the other day in Utah State.
Yeah,
right?
Yikes.
Okay, you're going to live by the three, you're going to die by the three. For Colorado, they've been relying upon their offense, and he's been saying you have to be tougher. You have to play better defensively. You have to, be a team that's going to grind a little bit. You got to be better under the glass. And, you know, if they would have been, that would have helped them at CSU. But I think a young basketball team now looks and goes, you know what, CSU had a historic day shooting the ball against Colorado. And so we can kind of excuse that one. Well, then they went in and played another quality team with Stanford over the weekend, and they realized, oh, maybe Coach Boyle has got something here. Maybe we need to learn to play tougher on the defensive end, be more attentive on the defensive end, and it ended up costing them.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. But still, I mean, summarizing most of this, again, one more non-con game coming up for this Buffs team. But, Mark, you told us this last year. It was kind of a rough go last season for Tad Boyle and these Colorado Buffaloes. And here they sit, 10-2, about to wrap this up. We'll see what happens Sunday. But I'm guessing they're going to be heavy favorites in this game Sunday. But, you know, a lot of young talent on this team. But what a turnaround for Tad Boyle.
There's no question, and you feel good about things to a degree, but, you know, from Tad's perspective or my perspective with being what I do for a living, you know, my job's not to – Tad certainly is not supposed to do this. My job is not to, talk about all the sunshine all the time. Guess what? We just found out there's a lot of times that clouds and wind can show up and 35 trees can go down to your property.
Yikes,
like the last few days, right? And so what they need to guard against is, listen, when they played quality teams, Colorado State, Stanford, we'll see another quality team coming up on Sunday with UNC. And then guess what? You're going to jump into the real deep end of the pool with Big 12 conference play coming up here. And, you know, being kind of cute on the offensive end is not going to cut it when you're playing teams like that. And they found that out now twice. They better figure it out for Sunday, and they certainly better figure it out by the time they're playing Houston and Iowa State and Arizona and Kansas and those kind of teams.
Well, Mark, the guy to watch out for UNC is my guy, friend of mine. We do the Brock Wisney show, so just watch out for him. The reason I bring him up is because he's a dude of faith. He is like the nicest guy I've ever met, an amazing human being. So treat him carefully on the broadcast there, Mark. Don't get too critical of him.
You know what I think is fantastic is that you have a Brock Wisney show, and then you went out and find a guy named Brock Wisney to be on the Brock Wisney show.
Isn't that fun? Like, we'd already planned it, and then we said, okay, now the hard part, how do we find a Brock Wisney? And there he was. I mean, I don't make this up. This is just how it happens.
Lo and behold, he was right there in your backyard playing for the Bears.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Every year we just throw out a name, and we say, now we got to fill that name. We got to fill the show.
You do know. I mean, you know, we joke about that. For about the last 12 years, I've had Buffs prime time, and then we went and hired a coach prime. So it kind of worked out on our end, too, so that does happen.
That was 100% why they made that hire. Nothing else, Mark. It was just to fulfill that name. You needed to actually make it make sense.
Well, I called Rick George and I said, you know, if you hired prime, I wouldn't have to change the name of the show, so it would be kind of cool if you did. So
It's amazing.
That's the way it worked
out. Amazing how that works out.
I'm looking, you know, we laugh about it, we have some fun with it, but I'm looking forward to that game on Sunday because I want to see if Colorado, this young team, which is very capable of being a very good basketball team, can learn some of these lessons and become as enthusiastic about playing in the defensive end of rebounding as they have been about offense. Because if they do, this team could be very fun to watch all season long.
Mark, on the football side, I don't know how closely you watched some of the playoff games over the weekend, but so much of the talk around Tulane and James Madison, and so many people saying they don't belong there, the G5 stuff. Well, they don't really deliver. I mean, James Madison, I still think it's an amazing story. They go from FCS to, hey, they're in the college football playoffs. This is a tough argument because, Mark, I got to tell you, to be honest, I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I do enjoy the seat at the table. However many seats, I don't know if I care. I just like to know that there's a chance. But then again, the logical part of my brain's like, it should be the top 12 teams in the country playing for the playoffs. Most sports do it that way. Why don't we do it this way? So I'll be honest. I am stuck somewhere in between.
Well, here's the thing that people need to understand. Football is not basketball. And our perception has been turned a little bit because Butler or James Madison or, you know, whoever, pick up some of these other smaller schools that have made a run to the Final Four here in the last 15, 20 years in college basketball. It's not the same game. And there's a reason why I say that, because in basketball, if you get a senior-heavy team, you get one or two real high-level guys, it can change the course of what that team is and also alter who they can beat on a regular basis. Now are they going to, you know, if a team like Butler, you know, when they went to two consecutive Final Fours, if you put them up against, you know, the best Duke teams of all time, maybe if they play 100 times, they might win 10 or 15. Okay, but it's going to happen. The chance of that happening in football is far less. Is it possible? Sure, I guess it would be possible if a high-level team came out and just totally laid an egg and turned the ball over six times and, you know, those kind of things. But it's very, very unlikely you're ever going to see anything like that, which is why it's harder for the argument to put the lower-level teams in the tournament. Now, should they have a seat at the table? Sure, okay. I guess I'm okay with that. But should they have had two seats at the table this year? Absolutely not. Absolutely not should they have had two seats at the table. It didn't make any sense to me at all when you saw two teams from the G5 in there. I thought, what in the world are we doing here? And it just goes to show the leadership in college athletics right now. They're not making decisions for the right reasons. They're making decisions for the expedient reasons or the political reasons or certainly the financial reasons. That we well know. And so you've got to be very, very careful about that. If this thing expands ultimately and it's out to 16 teams, can you leave a seat open for a team? But it has to be very objective, Brady, okay? Sit down with people much smarter than I am. You figure out the metrics and all this thing that we talk about all the time, and you can sit down and say, okay, we've got one team in here that looks like they really have an opportunity. They seem to fare well with all the metrics out there, and let's let them in, right? But you can't be just for willy-nilly reasons just be going, okay, this year we're going to have, you know, a couple of, you know, JMU and Tulane are going to be in there. Well, why? And Notre Dame stayed home and BYU stayed. I mean, I just don't understand these kind of things. I mean, they're done for political reasons, not for real reasons. And that's where we seem to stub our toe all the time.
Well, and now you're hearing, too, Ross Dellinger with Yahoo Sports. I know he's, like, all over the business side of this. And it just seems like, from his standpoint, like, there's a new story every day. There's a new amendment to this. And we're already hearing that. You know, part of this going forward is going to be, all right, if we're staying with 12, if Notre Dame's in the top 12, they're getting in, even if there's an 11 above, you know, they'd replace them. The Power Fours would essentially get their champions guaranteed in. And that's where a lot of people thought that was going to be what it was anyway, until they went back and read it. It's like, oh, it's not just the Power Four and a G5. It's the top five highest ranked. I was always confused by that anyway. I just don't think they expected it to go down this way. And I'm good with that. If you want to say guaranteed the Power Four gets their conference champs in, I can tend to go along with that, because the odds are we're not going to have this kind of situation very often. But it is fascinating. We're already kind of, we're not even through these playoffs yet, and we're already making some pretty significant edits.
Well, and the other thing is, how long do we have to go with reality slapping us in the face before we stop pretending that somehow the SEC is a far superior conference? Can we stop with that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Everyone laughed at the ACC, but yet the third-place team in the ACC went out and beat a team that was a couple of plays away from playing for the SEC championship, right? Can we stop with this ridiculous notion? And the reason it's happening is because the SEC and ESPN are in bed, and ESPN controls the college football playoffs. That's the reason it's happening. So can we stop with that? Let's just, like I said, let's go back to, let's sit down with some very smart people, go through the analytics, come up with a formula that says, okay, this is how we evaluate teams, okay? We look at everything. We look at who they played, how they played, what their numbers are. Are the people that were instrumental in getting them there playing, okay? Like maybe not having a head coach and those kind of things. That plays into this whole thing. Or you lose your starting quarterback, which we heard a year ago, right? Those play into the equation. You sit down and say, okay, here are the top 12 teams in America. And I don't want to hear the politics of, well, Notre Dame's going to get in. No, they don't get in because they're Notre Dame. They get in because they deserve to be in there. And I think if we can stop playing the political game all the time and come down with objective analysis of who the top 12 teams are and then put them in and stop playing, well, you know, the SEC's so good, we need to get four teams in, guaranteed. And no one's guaranteed. You want to guarantee it? Go win some damn football games. That's how you guarantee things. And that's what we need to get to. And right now the politics are just, they're overwhelming this thing, and it I think it damages it for all of us fans.
Well, and you brought up, you bring up the playoff thing too. I mean, how the optics of that you have a head coach coaching in it or not coaching in, on the Ole Miss side of things, Lane Kiffin, that story was absolutely crazy. I have weird feelings about Lane Kiffin, Mark. I really do. But I will say this. A lot of this story, a lot of it just has to kind of do with, to me at least, the system in place for, because if I'm LSU, I don't want Lane Kiffin away from, I hired you, I'm paying you big money, I want you here now. If I'm Ole Miss, all right, you're saying farewell to us. I don't want you around either. But the fact that that's the system, it's like you have these college football playoffs play out. We don't see this in the pro sports level. I mean, it's just, it's outrageous to me.
You know, it changed the calendar. It's very simple. So I got a friend of mine who's involved in the college athletic world from a legal standpoint, and he said to me here a couple weeks ago, he said, the college athletic system right now is just like the medical system. Everybody knows it's broke, but nobody wants to fix it because everyone's making money off of it. And that's what we're dealing with right now. This thing could be fixed. I saw just a retweet. You can go back and look at my timeline from yesterday. An athletic director put out a list of, he said, here's some ideas. And I thought his ideas were very, very good, right? About we do this and this. Change the calendar. Okay, you can't be hiring coaches when this is going on, just like you can't do that in the National Football League, for goodness sakes. We keep wanting to inch closer to being professional, and we've got a league that's got a pretty good system out there that works really pretty darn well. But nobody wants to really kind of go, okay, well, let's kind of mirror what they're doing. We can set up the same kind of calendar. We can say there's a free agency period, which is the transfer portal period. We can do that. We can have contracts. We can have collective bargaining. We can have all these kind of things. But nobody wants to do that, see, because we're all making a lot of money. And so don't change the system, because that might affect the amount of money I'm making. And that's where the conflict is in this whole thing, and it drives me out of my mind, because we are killing the golden goose. We just killed the bowl season, right? That just essentially came to an end this season, you know? And so we're going to continue to chip away at this thing, and then it'll be one of those deals on the back end. We're going to be holding the dead goose, and everyone's going to go, how did this happen? I think we all know how it happened, you dummies. Yeah. Right? We've been watching this process. So there's a way through this, but nobody has the guts to do exactly what we need to do, because since the genie's out of the bottle, we got to go full bore anyway. So let's pull the Band-Aid. It's going to hurt, but let's get there and let's get through the other side of this. Because what we're doing right now is just, it is a slow-motion suicide, and it drives me crazy.
Well, and I saw Minnesota's head coach, P.J. Fleck. I thought he had some really interesting things. And a lot of coaches have said the same thing. It's just that's the most recent one.
Yeah.
But he's saying, hey, we're asked to kind of manage a football team without the restrictions that the NFL has. I mean, we're asked to give money, not the same, but, comparatively, it's something similar. We're asked to do all this stuff without any restrictions. We go out and raise so and so many million dollars for this stud quarterback to come in. There's no guarantee he sticks around. I saw Troy Aikman's comments of, hey, I donated to a UCLA quarterback, And he transferred the next year. I didn't even get a thank you. That's the problem. Like, they're dealing with some of the stuff the NFL has to deal with, but the NFL can flat out say, we signed Billy Bob to a four-year contract. We don't have to worry about that position now for a bit.
Exactly right. And you know, every businessman, a businesswoman listening to your show that does business with KFKA would agree with me on this. Nobody in the world would ever do business the way we're doing business in college athletics. Right now, it's a one-way street. Everything benefits the student-athlete. We give them money. They don't have to prove anything. Then they can leave, keep the money, don't commit, go through with the commitment that they made. It's the dumbest system I've ever seen, right? Every smart businessman, a businesswoman out there, okay, we're going to go into a business agreement. I've got my part of this. These are my responsibilities and things I need to take care of. These are the responsibilities you have. You have to live up to your side. I have to live up to my side. And then you move on and you go through the life of the contract. If you're going to break the contract, there are penalties, or there has to be a renegotiated, whatever it might be. But right now, it's just like, here, Billy Bob, you're pretty good at football. Boom, mm-hmm. Let me throw some money at you. That's the way this is working, and it's just, it's crazy. The fact that Kenny Dillingham, a couple of days ago, got on a press conference and begged, I mean, literally just, it was one of the saddest, most disgusting things I've ever seen, stood there and begged somebody to come out and give him up.
I saw that. I mean
that is just, I mean, I don't know, where's our dignity? Where's our pride at this point in time? But that's what we're doing. I talk to coaches about it all the time because most of these coaches are out. They're not doing it publicly. I just thought it was just totally distasteful the way he publicly did that. I understand why he did it. I just don't think it's just something that a grown man should be doing. But they're all doing it to some degree, talking to their boosters and donors and saying, okay, here's where we're at. Here's what I need. Some are trying to do it with more dignity than others, but it's the same thing. I mean, it really is distasteful to me.
Yeah, I saw that too. I'm like, wow, this is where we're headed. We got coaches not coaching in their playoff games. We got coaches begging for money on their yep. open press conferences kind of thing. We got former pros, you know, Troy Aikman guys saying, I'll never donate again because I, you know, got it for a rental, basically. It's wide open. It's wild, Mark. Hey, before I let you go, Sunday, I have to ask. I haven't asked in a while. Can a buffalo still beat a grizzly bear, Mark? You know, that's what's the mascot
We've
question here.
For a while. You know, that's a heck of a mascot matchup. Right,
that's
there.
A tough battle there. Yeah.
You know, I watch enough Yellowstone documentaries on kind of the wildlife up there that can be a heck of a battle right there. Yeah. Now, you know what you get into. Generally, though, grizzly bears are solitary creatures, and buffaloes, of course, are herd creatures. And so, frequently, what you see if you get in that situation. Now, if a grizzly can kind of somehow separate that buffalo, now you got some problems if you're a buff. But if he comes into the herd and he's trying to get in there, what happens is as soon as he attacks him, the rest of the herd comes in and just beats the snot out of the grizzly bear. And so, you know, it's all about circumstance and game plan in this matchup right here. And I think considering that the entire roster is going to be there for the Buffs, I think you got to go with the herd over the sole grizzly bear. Although, I don't know. Yeah, the Northern Colorado Bears, are they grizzly bears or are they just black bears or brown bears or what are they?
I want to say grizzly bear. You would think I would know that, but I just know that they're bears. They could be any kind of bear. It could be a Pooh Bear, for all I'm concerned. For all I know,
I don't think it's
a Pooh Bear. Yeah, haven't seen any honey, but we need to get some like nature music underneath. This is better than watching Animal Planet for 3 hours. Right. Just listening to Mark break down these. We learn a lot just from these breakdowns right here.
Well, I'm glad I could educate your audience.
Mark, hey, man, I want to say Merry Christmas to you and your wonderful family, and Happy New Year, my friend.
All right. So are we going to see you next Sunday in Boulder?
There is, maybe.
That's a no. This is out there. I want you to know what Brady just said. That was absolutely a no.
It's a no because, you know, well, Mark, you know, Buffs fans, they're still kind of weird with me, man. I would have to sit next to you for protection.
You know what? I'll be doing TV on that game for ESPN. So you come over and just sit next to me, and everyone's like, well, Mark seems to like him, so maybe he's okay.
I'm just the random guy that's just sitting next to you and nodding, and they're like, who is that guy? Doesn't matter. He's here with Mark, and that's all that we need to know.
All right. Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year's to you as well, and I look forward to chatting with you on the other side.
All right, my man. Sounds good. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Well, Kenny Swamy says, I want Mark on the Wildlife Channel. He makes a good point. A grizzly taking on a Bison, I didn't do that to Mark. I didn't want to embarrass him. Grizzly's winning that battle, but Bison travel in herds, Mike. So that's a tough out. It's a tough out.
Yeah, bears do have dens. They do have friends around, but I'm going to agree. The buffalo will win.
But then again, isn't this hibernation period? So
it is.
If a bison catches a bear in a deep sleep and wakes it up, they're they don't have a lot of the nutrients that they need. They're tired. This could be the opportunity to get them on December 28th.
Now, maybe the bear does really desperately need some nutrients and is going to take a bite of that bison. But also keep in mind, bison aren't as protective of their kids as bears are.
But see,
there's a reason why someone says mama bear.
When bears come out of hibernation, the first thing they do is not go for a big hunt. They have to forage. They're getting berries. They're getting small things. They're getting fish because they got to get the energy up before they can take something big down. So this is a tough time to catch them. 44 minutes after the hour. Yeah, you're welcome. You didn't know that. Now you do. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mark, of course, talking about Kenny Dillingham, the head coach of Arizona State. He just signed a new deal. He's going to get like $7 million a year. And he's just like openly begging for big donors that have $20 million that they could just throw at him. Listen, they're all doing it. It's just now we're getting to the point where we're not hiding anything anymore. We're pretty direct about how this is all going down. But great, great conversation with Mark Johnson. If you missed any of that, check it out on our podcast, available Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com. You got your wish, Mike. James Madison ended up losing by 17, but it felt like more like 27 maybe, and Tulane lost big as well. So you got your wish, Mike. You got your wish. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Well, I wasn't wishing for
you
it.
You wished it. I could feel it.
I just knew it was the future.
We'll see what happens. I'm actually now just like, let's get this over with so we can see what the future of the CFP looks like. I am looking forward to the games, though, the rest of the way through. Now that we've got that out of our way, we can just focus on the task at hand. 12:50 the time. Let's take a quick break, Michael. Coming up next. Well, I want to touch on Colorado State's game against Utah State. How's Kyle Jorgensen doing? Scary situation. And NFL standings, what this week means. We'll be right back.
Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas.
Merry Christmas from all of us at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're all in this together.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up in the final hour of the show, we got buy or sell for you. Rough weekend for the Colorado State Rams. The first real kind of, they lost to DU, but this is some real adversity now that Ali Faroukhmanesh is facing. How will they handle it? Also, NFL standings. Big NFL weekend coming up. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.